Welcome to another episode of South Asia Chat, brought to you by the Institute of South Asian Studies. I'm your host, Archana, a research analyst at the Institute. On September 2nd, Germany announced its Indo-Pacific strategy, becoming the second European nation after France to formally adopt a strategy for the Indo-Pacific region. There was a significant focus on maritime security cooperation, human rights, and diversification of Germany's economic partnerships, and also to support rules-based order in the region. So Germany has now officially joined the Indo-Pacific Club, but what after this? We will find out from Dr. Garima Mohan, who is a fellow in the Asia program at the German Marshall Fund of the United States, where she leads the work on India and heads the India Trilateral Forum. Prior to this, Dr. Mohan was a research fellow at Global Public Policy Institute in Berlin. She's also a non-resident fellow at the Carnegie India. Thank you, Dr. Mohan, for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Archana.
So firstly, Germany's foreign minister Heiko Maas did refer to the geographical distance when he said the Himalayas and the Malacca Strait may seem a long way. What, according to you, prompted this announcement and how significant is it in the present-day Indo-Pacific context?
Yeah, thank you. So as you noticed, Germany last week released a very comprehensive policy guidelines on engaging with the Indo-Pacific. See, when we talk about the region and geographical proximity, one thing that we often miss is the deep economic engagement Europe has with this region and how much European economies depend on their relationship with the Indo-Pacific. So many European countries were looking at the dynamics unfolding in the region very closely for about the last 2 years, I would say. And this process has been going on since then. So the document mentions that more than 20% of German exports go to the Indo-Pacific region. The number might seem small, but actually it is the second largest export destination for many European economies. The importance of the Atlantic-US route has steadily declined, and Indian Ocean and Indo-Pacific economies has increasingly gone up and will only continue to increase for Europe. So this region is quite crucial. I think a second reason that prompted this announcement is the importance of India. The document mentions that in the coming decade, India will be a crucial strategic and economic pillar, and therefore to see the region as a whole is important. And the third, I think, is many Europeans, because of the partnership with China souring on many levels, particularly the economic partnership, opportunities for investments going down, many of them are looking at diversifying supply chains and looking at diversifying their partnerships with other dynamic economies. But also there are many common China-related challenges, from 5G to disinformation to strategic impact of BRI projects, where Europeans have understood that Indo-Pacific partners might have more experience, they might want to work with other democracies and partners with similar values. So I would say that these are the main reasons why Germany chose to adopt the term Indo-Pacific. It's quite significant, and bring out this strategy.
Interesting. Could you tell us if Germany has overcome its internal resistance to a strategic role in the East? And also, will there be a military dimension to its policy?
I think the military dimension should not be overemphasized, because German strategic culture, because of its particular history, is very different. And there will not be so much focus on military engagement. That being said, the Ministry of Defense already announced last year that the Indian Ocean will be a new area of priority for them. They would like to increase their maritime presence, do more port calls, and basically do their part, you know, take the role that burden share in ensuring security in the Indian Ocean. And this is both traditional and non-traditional. So on issues such as humanitarian assistance, disaster relief and evacuation, information sharing, maritime domain awareness, Europe has been punching much below its weight. Given how crucial this region is for Europe, all the sea lanes for fuel and exports going through the Indian Ocean, this has now started to become a central focus. And we see that also in the German strategy.
Okay. So since Germany is the second country in Europe to commit to the Indo-Pacific after France, can we expect other European countries to join in?
Absolutely. So this debate, as I mentioned, has been taking place over the last year and a half in a number of European countries, including the Netherlands, Denmark, even at the EU level in Brussels. A number of countries are talking about how best to engage with the Indo-Pacific, how best to work with these partners, Australia, India, Japan, New Zealand, even South Korea. So yes, we can definitely see other countries coming on board. In fact, Germany now has the presidency of the EU Council. And during this time, they've mentioned very clearly that they will push for an EU-wide approach to the Indo-Pacific, perhaps even an EU strategy on the region.
Interesting. If we put things into the current bilateral tensions with China, what would Germany's support to the Indo-Pacific mean for India?
I think it means what we want it to mean. So the fact that Germany is using the term and has a strategy for engagement is a sign. It's an open invitation to India, Japan, other countries in the region that, listen, we want to work more with you and we recognize China-related challenges, whether we say it implicitly or not, explicitly or not, we do recognize this. So I think the onus is up to us. In the process of this whole Indo-Pacific debate in Europe, I saw that Japan was very heavily present. The Australians were diplomatically also pushing for Europeans to come on board the idea. But India has somehow been absent. So I think it is up to us now to realize what we want from this partnership and how do we want to engage Europe within our own Indo-Pacific strategy and context.
Right. With Europe decisively shifting away from China, what is your assessment of how India can develop a comprehensive response to China by strengthening its partnership with the European Union?
Yeah. So I think as I had mentioned in an earlier piece I had written this year, we need to develop a comprehensive response to China, which on top of military has to be on all levels, right? It's about building your national capacity, resources, resilience. And in all of these, Europe can be an important partner for us, particularly on economics, trade, investment, which we need, on high level technology that we need. A lot of these fronts, I think Europe is an important player. What often happens in Indian strategic thinking, particularly in circles in Delhi, I often hear this argument that, well, Europe is not so important for us. They seem to be a little bit soft on China here and there. We will never have perfect alignment with them when it comes to China-related issues, simply because they are not resident in this region. They do not share a border with the country. But overall, we have enough in common that we can work with them on several fronts, particularly when it comes to developing response to China, working with them diplomatically in terms of, FTA arrangements, even if not FTA, facilitating trade investment, making them a part of India's growth story, which European countries are actually very eager to do and have been doing. If you look at the record of what the EU and member states have been doing so far with India, building infrastructure, connectivity, a lot of these things are already present. Now we need to be a bit smart about how we think about it as a whole sort of complex picture rather than, piecemeal and just saying, well, on climate, economics and some sort of, domestic resilience stuff, we work with Europe, but our actual real partners are those who are supplying this military hardware. I think we can't look at it in a piecemeal way. We have to look at it in terms of an overall response to China.
Okay. Going back to India again, what are some of the new areas of strategic cooperation for India and Europe?
So I think now that Europe has started finally talking about Indo-Pacific, first of all, we should be talking to them about the Indian Ocean. India wants to be a net security player in the Indian Ocean. We are looking to work with other partners in the region. We should seriously have a conversation with European member states as well as the EU, where we see their role, whether it is strengthening regional institutions, on MDA, on information sharing. We need to get them on board. I think the second most important issue is, in a post-coronavirus world, economic concerns will be very important. We are going to enter a completely new age, and we need to crucially talk about our economic partnership. We need to talk about supply chains. When Europeans say they want to diversify out of China, they're looking for new markets. This is an important opportunity that India must not, you know, let waste. So we need to talk about supply chains, trade and investment. And thirdly, I think we need to talk about high tech. We need to talk about new technologies. We need to talk about 5G, setting rules for engagement. As we saw this week, China is making a bid to set rules in this region. We need to be working with Europeans who are actually quite keen on getting India on board. We have our differences, yes, but we need to clearly scale up engagement in these three regions.
Well, it looks like it's very interesting times ahead with all the developments in the Indo-Pacific. On that note, thank you so much for sharing those wonderful insights, Dr. Mohan, and thank you for agreeing to do this podcast.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Dear listeners, we hope you enjoyed the conversation. To know more about our work, please visit our website, www.isars.nus.edu.sg. Thank you.